Thank you for mentioning that. So anyway, this is how to create your own 5-day something, whether it's a challenge or a mastermind or a masterclass. And we talked before how the 5 was kind of the magic number. When you come onto a group like this, oftentimes, you know, it's just a single masterclass, which is still very powerful, where you can just do a one-time masterclass. And you can, you know, kind of review all of your offers on, you know, in a masterclass, and then have an offer at the end of your masterclass for folks to register, sign up, or whatever, to go a little deeper with you. But the number 5 is the magic number, because if you have folks on, and Ruth, you've done a 5-day challenge. When you're on a 5-day challenge, after about session 3 or day 3, the group starts to mesh together. The folks start to talk with each other. They start, they get inspired and encouraged by each other. And so by the time the 5th session or the 5th day goes by, they don't want it to end, because they've made some connections, and which is what it's all about, is making those deeper connections. And so that's the joy of having a 5-session or a 5-day masterclass, mastermind, challenge, however, whatever you want to do there. And don't get too bogged down thinking it has to be a challenge, so I have to challenge my people, or it has to be, you know, a mastermind, so I have to bring all of these amazing, wonderful ideas to the table every single time, you know, where the pressure's on me. As a facilitator or moderator, you're simply facilitating and moderating the conversation with the rest of the group. Now, you want to bring, you know, you want to bring some of your magic to the table. That's why you're there. And you obviously have some sort of a program or a course or something that you're selling at the other end. And so you do want to bring, you know, all of your information to the table, but you also want the rest of the group to also participate. Now, we have to just briefly talk about the difference between a moderator and a facilitator. A moderator will, which is more what you are, if you're going to be selling something at the other end, you're going to moderate. And the reason you're going to moderate is moderator brings information to the table as the speaker. You're going to bring the topic. You're also going to bring your insight. Your opinion is also going to be included. And then you're simply going to moderate the conversation and make sure everyone in the room has a voice as you're moderating that particular topic. But you're the expert on the topic, because it's your topic and you're moderating it. So you're the expert. And so that's what most of our 5-day masterclasses, masterminds, or challenges will be if we're selling something at the other end, is that we're going to be the expert in the room. Now, that doesn't mean that somebody can't bring something to light in the room that isn't really important. And what it does is you'll also want to pay attention to those folks that have some insight into your topic, because you're looking for a couple, 3 things while you're moderating this masterclass, mastermind, or challenge. Number 1 is you're looking for a co-mod, because life happens to all of us. And if this is your main topic, this is your at the other end of this, you know, you're using this as part of your funnel. And at the other end, you want to send them over to a course or something that you're doing for a fee, you know, you're making money on this. What happens when you've got something scheduled and you're really going strong and you get called away for whatever reason? You really need a co-mod that has a passion for your topic, that you feel that you can connect with, that makes a good connection, with the audience that you have. And that person, you might watch them for a while. You don't have to, you know, you don't want to jump the gun and invite them. You know, it's kind of like dating. You don't want to get married on your first date, but pay attention, because they very well could be. Now, here is what I want to tell you. Sometimes the most unlikely person becomes your biggest fan. And here is what I want you to know, is that does not have to be the smartest person in the room. It has to be the most dedicated to your message. your co-moderator does not have to be the smartest person in the room. You don't have to. Now, it'd be great if they were both, but you don't have to pick the one that seems to know a lot about your topic. They may not be your most dedicated fan, even though they're charismatic and everybody loves them and they keep the conversation going and they have all the right stuff. You have to really pay attention. And we've talked often in some other platforms, we've talked often about intuition and feeling who you're really connecting with and who kind of has your back. And that's the kind of person that you want to choose to be your co-mod. Now, once you have this co-mod, all of a sudden, this co-mod will help take some of the pressure off, because now this co-mod is also contributing not only to your sessions, but they're also telling folks about it. So that it's like another mouthpiece for advertising as well, because your co-mod is going to go, yeah, I co-mod, because they're going to be kind of proud that you ask them. And so they're going to also advertise that they're helping you co-mod this call. So that's that kind of spreads the message a little easier. The second thing that you're looking for when you're in the throes of this five session of whatever you're doing is that you also want to see who shows up every day and who's doing the work, because you might, because maybe at the other end, maybe your offer is going to be a paid mastermind. You know, maybe you're going to do a free one, a 5-day challenge or a 5-day mastermind. You're going to do a free one up front to try to generate interest in your topic. But if you have some folks that were very dedicated and they did the work and they actually moved the needle and they're a huge fan, they're like, this really worked for me, you might behind the scenes want to offer them to be a founder of your organization, to be a founding member, and let them go into the paid mastermind for free. And the reason that you want to pick two or three founding members is it makes your 5-day challenge or 5-day mastermind have conversation. It's awfully hard to do any type of a mastermind when it's just you, or when it's just you and one other person. And so what you're doing by creating some founding members to go along with you into the paid version as you build this, then they become part of your cornerstone of your business. Does that make sense? And then when you're advertising, see, maybe on your first session on a paid one, now a free one, you obviously will get more, because that's the whole point of the funnel. You get a bunch of people here, and then, you know, as you get to the end and you have a price tag on it, you have less that take the next step. And then as you get them through that mastermind and, you know, onto whatever program you have, you'll have even less. And of course, you're charging more. Each step they take, your fee goes higher, because they're getting more personalized one-on-one work with you, you know, like maybe even one-on-one coaching. And so as your mastermind members, founding members hang in there with you, you might only have two or three other people that decide to pay to join the paid mastermind. And that way you still have a pretty full room. 10 is kind of the sweet spot, you know, to have between 5 and 10 people. If you get a big mastermind, then sometimes it's better to even split that into two. If you get like 20 folks that really want to be involved in the paid one, you might want to split that into two 10-member ones. And the reason for that, it's so hard to give everyone individual attention if you have too many in the group. And I'm a firm believer that, you know, to have really, you know, personal connection, it's great if you can see everyone on one screen. So for those of you that are on a tablet or a desktop instead of your phone, you'll realize if you've been on Zoom calls, which we've all been on Zoom calls through this whole pandemic, that you can get like 25 people all on the first page. And then once you get past 25, it starts going to page 2 and then page 3. And then as the facilitator or moderator, you have to scroll on a little arrow button to even see everyone that's in your call. And so I like to keep, especially if it's a paid function, I like to keep it where everyone shows on one page, if that makes sense to everybody. And so again, that's up to you, what number you're comfortable with, and what you want your conversation to be and how you want it to, you know, to play out for you. But that, those are just some of my insights, you know, off the top of my head. Now, we've had a couple of sessions already on this mastermind, and we've talked about the framework, you know, all the different you know, ways you can put together either a master class or a mastermind or a 5-day challenge. And they're all saying the same thing. Don't get hung up on what you want to call it. You might have a preference. It might resonate more with you to call it a mastermind. It might resonate more with you to call it a challenge. It might resonate more with you to call it a master class. It's whatever you want to call it. But in the scheme of the technical side of it, it's all the same thing. It's all the same thing. And so once you make that decision, how, you know, kind of what you want to name it, you have to decide what platform are you going to use. Now, I've seen a lot of different platforms out there, but I think most folks are comfortable and familiar with Zoom. And Zoom has even stepped up to the plate more than ever because as they got busy through this pandemic, they added features that some of the other platforms had they didn't have. So I'm totally happy with Zoom, but if you have a different platform that you prefer, by all means, use whichever platform you're most comfortable with, because all you need to do is get your folks to connect there. They don't have to understand the platform the way you do. Now, and again, Sherry didn't come on today, but she just came off of a 5-day challenge and she got some help. And she had some folks that were helping her in what's called the back of the house. They were monitoring the chats for her. She had someone monitoring who was trying to enter the room. Because again, if you're the facilitator or moderator, once you share your screen, if that's the way you're going to go, is to have, you know, a program that you want to share, a PowerPoint or a website or whatever. Once you share your screen, a lot of times all of your guest faces kind of disappear. They all go into little tiny squares off to the side. And again, your laptop or desktop's only going to show about the first 5, and then you're not going to be able to see the rest. And so what happens there is sometimes you can't monitor what's going on behind the scenes when you're trying to teach a point. And so that's why it's helpful sometimes to have someone, and they don't even have to be in your same location, because like here, I could, for example, I could name Linda my co-mod, and maybe Linda's job throughout this call would be to monitor the chat, or maybe her job would be throughout this call to see who entered into the waiting room to make sure they got, you know, admitted on in. Maybe her job, and again, depending on what platform you're using, sometimes you can have on Zoom, you can have a Q&A section and a chat section. I went into my settings and turned off the Q&A. And that way, I'm not chasing Q&A and chat at the same time because I monitor my own. Now, what I did in my view, I'm doing a gallery view, so I get to see everyone. But then I minimized my gallery view just a hint smaller. And then I opened up my chat. And so I can see my chat the whole time. I leave my chat open so I can see my chat the whole time. So there's different ways that you can facilitate that if you're if you're not having somebody help you, what's called in the back of the house. So Ruth, did you have a question? Go ahead. Hope you're on mute. There you go.
So the question is, if you have, you know, having somebody else bring people in, can they do that as a co-host, or do you have to make them a host?
You mean if they're going to admit somebody that's in the waiting room,
right,
and
right,
monitor the chat, you have to at least make them a co-host. The co-host will have all. Now, it might be a little different if you're using a webinar versus meeting, because in Zoom you have two pockets. You have a meeting pocket, which everyone automatically comes up the way you see us today, and I do all of my paid stuff in the meeting because we all know each other and I know who's coming in. When I'm doing the free stuff, And it all started with my Happy House Hunters. I put a Happy House Hunters topic out there, and it was just going to be me and one other guy, and I was going to be interviewing, a lender or something. And I had 85 to 95 people tapped in listening to this webinar. And so I definitely put that over on webinar because I knew that I wasn't going to be able, once I shared my screen with the person I was going to be interviewing, I wasn't going to be able to monitor all of that. And we had had a couple of Zoom hacks early on where we had a Zoom hacker played an inappropriate video while I was interviewing someone. So of course we had to end the call and start over. And it's just not fun. And so anyway, you learn, again, I've always said action comes first and clarity comes second. So I knew that I had to tighten that up and I had to figure it out. And so of course we all were doing that at the time, because who would have thought that somebody would have had fun being a Zoom hacker anyway. So at the end of the day, I realized that going on a webinar, I had the power to click people over to be a panelist that I wanted to be a panelist. And it's only the people that I click over to be a panelist, can you see them like you see us. Everyone else just stays in the audience. And what it did is it allowed me to have more control over the audience that way, because those folks didn't have the power. They could put something in the chat, but they didn't have the power to verbally say anything, and they didn't have the power to create a video. So their audio and video did not work. They had to be in a listen mode. But then if somebody came into the audience that I knew, let's say you tap into the audience, I could then make you an actual panelist, and then you would pop up on the main screen in webinar. So as the host, you have the power to put whoever you want on the main screen. In a meeting, you do not. Everyone comes in right onto the main screen. When they enter through the waiting room, they pop up right on the main screen. Is that helpful?
Yes. And then one more quick comment about the chat. And that was because I learned this when I was doing my challenge. You can make that chat be bigger. And so I needed it bigger to be able to see it.
Okay.
Not taking my glasses off. Because okay. That's how close. So just know that you can change the size of that chat.
Okay, that's good to know. Good to know. Now, for me, it looks pretty big already. My screen right now on my laptop, our faces are about 2/3 of my screen, and my chat is about 1/3 of my screen. So I can see everybody's. I can see the link you put, Ruth. I can see Debbie saying she was on the phone. I can see all the chats at once there. Mm-hmm. Because I just have the whole chat. It's the whole column, the whole height of my screen, and about 1/3 of the width of my screen. So I can see all of my chat. So the only other thing when you have the chat open is you've got a button where you can chat to everyone or you can chat to individual folks. In a meeting, it's kind of an automatic. In a webinar, you can actually decide whether or not your attendees can chat with each other. And I turned that off because, again, on a webinar, I did not know if I had any hackers in there, and I didn't need them making inappropriate comments to other individuals in the call that I couldn't see.
Right.
And so I did turn that off in my webinars. Now, for me, if I'm on a paid mastermind, one of my paid options, I use the meeting. It's only on my free stuff that I use the webinar, because again, I'm getting folks that I've never met over there. And I just want to make it nice for everyone, because it makes everybody uncomfortable when somebody finally jumps on and does something inappropriate. Now, not only you as the host, because this is your business and you're trying to create, you're trying to present yourself a certain way in the world, and you don't need that going on in something that you're trying to record. And so what happens is it forces you to start over, and then that's awkward for everyone. So anyway, so hopefully that is helpful. So yes, go ahead.
One more quick question. I forgot it and then I remembered it.
No, you go right ahead.
So when you talked about not allowing on the webinar for them to chat with each other. Is that something you had to set up when you set up the webinar?
Yes. And there's two setting sites on Zoom. One is the settings when you set up your profile and all of that. There's a settings. And then each meeting or each webinar mm-hmm. that you launch has its own little settings. And I don't remember which one that's in. I think it's in the individual meeting or webinar settings, because I think I could make it different for different webinars, but I've made it all the same. And again, that helps me, because once I get familiar with the technology, then I'm going to come across smoother on my end,
right,
to my viewers, because I'm going to already know, you know, how I'm going to facilitate and how I'm going to moderate that call or that webinar. So it helps me look better overall. Mm-hmm. So I did all my meetings the same setup, and I did all my webinars the same setup. So I only have to learn two setups. So anyway, so that's what's working for me. And so anyway, I want to go on and talk about inviting. And we talked a little bit last time about inviting, but I kind of want to weave in the whole pricing point as well. Now, when you're, and again, you can use your 5-day mastermind, masterclass, or challenge. You can use it as your freebie. You can use it as your first base, your second base, your third base. It could be, if you have an ongoing mastermind, that can be your bread and butter, meaning that's where you make most of your income. So, and it could even be your home run. Maybe quarterly, you want to do a big masterclass for all of your, you know, high, what word do I want there? Your high ticket folks that are in your programs. So anyway, it's up to you where you want to put the 5-day masterclass, challenge, or mastermind. I started off when I decided to leave the salon industry and I was going to launch my academy. I didn't know what I didn't know. And I knew that action came first and clarity came second. So I thought, well, I'm going to do something. I don't know how this is going to go, but I'm going to launch. So what I did, and Debbie's still on the phone, but she'll probably remember this. What I did is I tossed out a 5-day challenge, a 5-day kind of a mastermind challenge. And I just put it out there for free. And I did that for a full year. I would do, you know, 5 weeks, and I did mine once a week. So I would do 5 weeks, then I would skip a week. Then I would do 5 weeks, and then I would skip a week, and then I would do 5 weeks, and then I would skip a week. And I did that for a full year because I wanted to basically get my sea legs. I wanted to get comfortable doing a five days, mine happened to be a 5-week. I did it once a day, like every Monday for 5 weeks or every Tuesday for 5 weeks, but it was 5 sessions. And I didn't know what I wanted to put into a course. And so by having these 5 sessions and questions coming up, I knew what I wanted to put in the course. I knew what the questions were that my audience had. See, to start off with, I was only having a conversation in my head. I didn't have any idea what the conversation was in everyone else's head. So it wasn't until I started taking notes from my own mastermind as folks would jump in and share, that's when I started putting together, oh, here's what everybody wants to know. So here's what I need to research first, you know, to put up into a course. That's how I've written all my courses. They almost have written themselves, because once I had the mastermind and realized what the questions were, then I knew what to go out and find the answers for. I didn't know before then. I didn't even know what the questions were to even know what to look for in answers. So then I could start putting together the questions and answers in a course type format. And I chose Teachable, but again, there's 101 platforms out there that you can choose. Elise, question, go ahead.
Hey, well, good morning, everyone. Sorry, I don't have my camera on. It was a morning. The dogs were kind of acting crazy, so pardon me.
I get it.
I did have a question regarding, sure. Do you think, and do you ladies think it would be effective for someone such as a virtual assistant and a lot of business owners being unsure of how to do organization, maybe making like a, you know, a 5-week master course of, hey, this is how you organize your inbox. This is how you, do certain organizational things or use tools, and you could either use them as a Loom or make that 5-day course. What do you think about that?
Absolutely. And so the thing that you need to start with, what we all need to start with, are what are the 5 big problems that folks want to solve? So whatever it is that you are writing your material around, or whatever you're launching, is you need to know the 5 big problems. What are the 5 big problems? And with the 5 big problems, see, then you can have a topic for each one of your sessions. Gotcha. Does that make sense? And then from there, see, you can tweak it. And you might even take one of the problems out and put a different, maybe you realize after, you know, the first couple of times you do this 5 session challenge, you might realize that, gee, what I thought was the 5 big problems really aren't. You know, I had 3 of them right, but 2 of them I don't have. And so you might, you know, tweak your presentation and take a couple of yours out and put the real problems in. Or you might discover that a couple of the problems fall under the same category and you end up discussing them all in the same session, which then loosens up a session for an additional problem. But you want to have 5 big problems, but it's going to be a process. It's not, you know, it's not going to be carved in stone. So as much as you work putting together your 5-day challenge, and Ruth, tell me if you agree or not, do you find that once you've completed your 5-day challenge that you have some tweaks, that if you were going to launch it and do it again tomorrow, that you would do a couple of things different than you did the first time through? Or were you pretty on target?
I think I was 80% on target, which I think is really good.
That's good. That's good. Okay.
But yeah, there's definitely one topic that I'm adding in.
Okay.
In fact, I randomly got a 5-day challenge scheduled for, I think it's the 3rd week in September. You know, so yeah.
Okay.
Yet to come, but I think it's going to be noon, I think, Eastern time.
Okay.
But that's right on. And I'm thinking about Elise, and I'm just going to ramble for a little bit, Elise.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you're on the right track.
Okay.
But, and I like what Kathy said about problems. What problems can you solve? But also think about if you came into my world, where would you start with me? What would be your process? Because that's another thing. When I did my 5-day challenge in May, I knew I had insights, but I didn't know I had a process.
Mm-hmm.
And my one friend kept saying, "You've given me a process." And I thought, oh, I've given her a process. And so now I feel very confident that I can say that. So I encourage you to take that into your world and say, if I was a new client, what would be your process to work through with me to get me organized or to move me forward? And maybe put those steps into your 5-day challenge. And that gives you a key thing where you can take off on that, because I'm pointing fingers back at me when I say this, where you can step in and say, this is how I, you know, this, and you could say you could say virtual assistant. I think it's a combination. But this is how I could take you to the next level. These are tips that you can start to do on your own. But if you want help with this, know and reach out to me.
Does that make sense? Yes, no, I actually love that idea. I appreciate that. I think that would be kind of cool to do, you know, like a 5-week, 5-day, get organized with me, something like that. That's a great idea. Thank you, Ruth.
Well, and again, most people aren't going to sit down and say, I need to get organized.
Right.
Most people are going to look in the mirror and say, I have to stop working so much.
Yeah.
I have to stop being so overwhelmed. And so that when you're starting to put together your marketing and you come up with some sort of a title, what it is you want to answer their problem. And their problem is that they need more time.
Mm-hmm.
And so you might say, you know, five steps to, you know, getting your time back, or And then go through, you know, five problems that you can help solve for them, one on each of your sessions, for them to get their time back. So yes, I agree with that. Now, another thing, I like five steps, because again, five is the magic number to get people that really, they really don't want it to end after five. And so five is the magic number. So another thing that I like to try is to find a word with five letters and make an acronym out of the word that represents each of your days or each of your sessions.
I will say, I love that when people do it, but my mind cannot work that way.
Oh, I get it. And sometimes it doesn't have to be a word. Sometimes it just has to be kind of clever. And I remember when I was putting together my Happy House Hunters, somebody said, well, you know, they were kind of taking me to task early on, and they said, well, what are you going to cover? And I said, well, and I'm thinking to myself, what am I going to cover? Because I was just putting it together. And I said, well, I'm going to cover, you know, how you find property. And then of course it just came to me. I said, then how you fund it, you know, you have to figure out how to fund it. And then all of a sudden I thought, there's two F's, finding and funding. What would come next that would also start with an F? And so I ended up, my title is the six F's of real estate. And so it starts off with, you have to find it, and then you have to fund it. And then after you fund it, you have to fix it. And after you fix it, you can either flip it or you can fill it. So there is five. And then my sixth one is, what is your freedom number? And that's how I pull it all together with, what is your freedom number? How many times do you have to do that to not have to make working a job optional, punching a time clock optional. So anyway, it turned out to be kind of clever. Now, on a side note, and you gals will chuckle about this, I made that up, the six F's of real estate, you know, the finding, funding, fixing, flipping, filling, freedom. And so my girlfriend, who is a realtor, she says, hey, can we get together tonight? And I said, no, I said, I got my six F's of real estate meeting tonight. And she went, I used to know what those were. She says, I learned those in school, but I forgot. And I'm like, no, you didn't, because I made it up. But it sounded so professional to her. She thought she should have known what those six F's of real estate were, because she was a realtor. And I didn't make her feel bad. I just kind of smiled and said, oh, it'll come to you. But it made me feel good to know that it does sound intriguing, you know, and folks that are in the investment community, they want to know, you know, I want to hear this. And so what it does, just like Ruth said, it gives folks a process, because when they see the six F's in a list, it lets them know, well, that's the process. I have to find it. I have to fund it. I have to fix it. I have to flip it or fill it. And then I have my freedom. And so it lets them know that there's a process. And so I do agree with that. So when you go back and look at a lot of my courses, then that's what I'm doing. I'm going back and I'm creating those steps. And I love the five steps, the six steps. I love putting the steps together. So at least hopefully that'll help you, you know, but you have to start with what problems it is that you're solving in each one of those steps in that process.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for that. I appreciate that, ladies.
Yeah. So anyone else? Yes, Linda.
Hi there. Lower my hand. There we go. This is kind of in relation to the things that have been talked about. How do you select what you're going to cover in your free 5-day challenge, so you're not giving away the content of the thing that you're leading toward in your offer?
Well, I have a little bit of a different view on that. And here's my view. If I took everything that I do and that I know and tie it up in a little box and put a bow on it and hand it out for free to everybody, only a very, very small portion of folks would actually do anything with it. Now, a lot of folks might put it on the shelf for a rainy day thinking, you know, someday I need to, you know, explore that more, but only a very small percentage will actually do anything with it. And so when I do my free meetups, I give out a lot of the same material that's in my masterminds. But in the masterminds, it's the group. It's where we get to go deeper. It's where we get to explore each one of those topics in a much deeper level. And it's making that connection in the group. And I have gals that have been with me from the very beginning, and they don't miss a session because if they've missed one, they've only missed one, and they hated that they missed it. So, and it's not me. It's not that they're coming. It's not that they're showing up for me. I'd like to think part of it is, but they're showing up because they've made connections with folks in the group, you know, and they feel like it's a community, and it's a safe place where they can put their failures out there. And that's what I think we all need when we're trying to create something, especially if we don't know what we don't know. It's a nice safe place to say, I don't get that. And everybody understands because there was a time they didn't get it either. And so again, I don't hold back when I'm doing a free one, but it's not near as in depth. But it's the same material, but it's just not as in depth. Is that helpful?
Yeah. And what went through my mind as you were talking is give the framework, the ideas and some tips verbally, but don't give them the worksheets.
And again, if that's what you're selling is the worksheets or the how-to, then yes, absolutely. I agree with that. Because a lot of those folks, they're just checking it out. They're dipping their toe in the water. They're just coming to listen, and they may not ever come back. You might only have them in, you know, one or two sessions, and then they fade away. But again, if you're doing a 5-session something, even for free, you're more likely to convert them at the end after 5 sessions than you are after just one masterclass or, and even me, I do, you know, a free meetup once a month. And I go through the topics the same as I am in the masterminds. But again, like you, I'm just giving the overview and the outlines and here's what we're doing. And I have new people every month. Mm-hmm. You know, I have, and some of those folks that seemed incredibly interested, I've never seen again. So again, it's just a small part that really resonates, you know, your message resonates with them and they definitely want to connect and they'll search you out. Again, you've heard me say this before, your tribe will find you. Your tribe will find you. Elise, did you have a question?
Honestly, I was looking at the Zoom pieces and the reactions and I was clapping for the, I was clapping for the response, but I definitely agree. I think what helped me a lot if I step back into 2 years or so ago when I first met Kathy and seeing a lot of her free stuff, a lot of the stuff that got me interested was her having the outline myself as like an intellectual. I love to see people's outlines. I love to see kind of where you're going. And then if that captures my attention, then I feel, you know, obligated to pay for whatever else, you know, information that she might have had, which haven't regretted a penny since. I'm not going to lie to you, but you know, it's amazing what, you know, you can see and you can see that person's personality. I could see that Kathy truly cared about her people. And while she put, you know, a lot of that information into the free stuff, I was interested in hearing more. What else can you bring for me? Thank you so much for what you have so far. So just clapping for the reaction. We're trying to work through my Zoom. Sorry about that.
Nope. I appreciate that. Thank you so much, Elise. I see Debbie has her hand up.
Yeah. Kathy, this has been great. I'm sorry that I can't be completely here. I got to tell you, this has been very helpful to me today because I'm getting to ready to implement my 5-day and it's all on the book Story Brand. That has just blown me away. But everyone has had great contribution today. And I'm just going to give you a reason why I'm not in here. Hang on.
Your feedback helps us improve. Please answer all 5 questions using the numbers on your telephone keypad. You'll have an opportunity at the end of the
hang on.
Yep, I hear you got something going on there. I know you've been talking with your doctors today or something. Yeah. you're on a call with your doctors.
Well, here's the thing. I'm just going to give everybody a hint. If the hospital tells you that your copay is a certain amount, don't pay it, because Fairfield Medical Center just charged me $938.
Wow.
For my procedure tomorrow. And my insurance company is now informing me it's only $75. So
someone coded it wrong, Debbie. I can tell you that right now. I've been a medical assistant for a while. Somebody done coded you wrong, and they need to fix that for sure. But I hear you.
This is ridiculous. So anyways, again, thank you, Kathy. I got to go back on to mute, but thank you. I didn't want, and I want to turn my picture off because I don't want you to see my expressions.
You're like, arr.
Yes. Continue with the great stuff today.
I get it. Well, Debbie, thank you for that. Estella, how about you? Any comments yet?
I am absolutely loving it. I love the force of five.
Yes.
And there were a couple of things that you said about the five and how to set that up, the five problems. And I thought, so what are five problems that I solve? And how can I turn that into a 5-day challenge? I will figure that out.
Yeah, you might have to think on that a little bit, but the best thing, and again, for those of you that are in my other mastermind on building a better business, go back to your story. Go back to your story. What brought you into your business? What were your problems? Because 9 times out of 10, everyone around you is having the same exact problem you were having. But not everybody voices it. And oftentimes we think we're the only one that's struggling with something. And we realize once we voice it, that everyone's been struggling with that. And so go back to your story on how you got into Legal Shield and what were some of the problems that you saw that prompted you to even get into the business. And so, and with you being in HR for a while with your background and seeing problems that other folks were having, my guess is that you'll be able to narrow down 5 major problems that you want to cover in a 5-day challenge.
That is excellent, because one of the areas that I'm glad you said that, tying the HR with the legal problem, for the novice person in a small company that knows nothing about HR, they have problems.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. Thank you.
Yeah, because again, you got a little bit of a bird's eye view being in HR, because you could see a lot of folks and what their problems were. So you've got a bigger audience to draw from than some of us. Some of us is just us, and we're trying to put together a program, and we don't have that big audience yet to draw from. So that's why I did 5 sessions of masterminds and then skipped a week and did another 5 and skipped a week and did another 5. And then I did different topics throughout that. But I did that for a whole year just so I could find out what the problems were in my topics and the topics that I wanted to talk about, because I only knew what my problems were. Well, come to find out, a lot of folks had the exact same problems I had. And so that wasn't that hard once I realized that, but I had to start.
You started and got the clarity.
Then clarity comes second. Correct. Mm-hmm. So now we've talked about, Ruth, go ahead. You're on mute.
I do that when I'm not talking, so you guys don't hear me.
I know. Now I'll give you a little hint. If you press down your space bar,
it changes, doesn't it?
Yes. You can take yourself off mute by just holding your space bar down, by the way. I didn't know if everybody knew that.
This came up when Linda was talking, so it's for Linda, but I think everybody can use it a little bit, and it may work and it may not. But with your 5-day challenge or your mastermind, whatever it is, you can always, with each session, offer like a little VIP over that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Linda, I'm thinking that probably one of your topics, well, even Estella, is wills. And so you could say, for a small fee, if you would like to talk to me specifically about this topic, I'm not a lawyer. I'm not, you know, any of that type stuff. You know, you could say what you could, you know, it would be like a VIP just for that session. And it might give you a little bit of income in your free deal.
Yeah, that's a great idea. That's a great idea. And I'll don't quote me, but a VIP could be any price that you chose. It could be, you know, for $59 extra or for $99 extra. Now, what happens is a lot of folks, they can't make all five of the sessions. They want to, but they already have a commitment that, you know, they have to skip one and they don't want to skip one. So one of the things that you can put in your VIP is that they get all of the replays in the VIP. So if they pay $59 or $99 or something that's kind of nominal, they can actually get all of the replays. And that way they feel like they don't miss anything. And then you want to sweeten the pie a little bit and say, you can get the replays, you can get these, a couple of downloads, you might get a template, you know, to create something depending on whatever your topic is. And so that's where you want to add value. That's where you want to, you know, put that extra little punch there. And just think about it, you know, if you had a $99 VIP and a free 5-day challenge and one person a day decided to buy the VIP, that's $500 that week that you made just off your VIP tickets.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Ruth.
And sometimes the VIP is for like the whole week or the whole five sessions. But, you know, what came to my mind when we were talking is about doing it on a daily thing. So that's something you're going to want to think about and think about that as far as your price break. Because I may feel like I've got your other 5 days figured out or, you know, very comfortable with that. But if this one, I really want to talk and, okay, I'm rambling and I'm going to try to get my mind together. A lot of times when the VIP ticket is like a smaller group where you have it for the whole time. Okay. What I was thinking about when I said the other thing was where I could talk to you individually about my situation. That's not on a recording that anybody else gets to see. So it's two separate different scenarios, really.
Yes. And you could even put that your VIP includes a free one-on-one with you. You know, you could actually put that as added value in your VIP. If somebody goes, boy, I really want to talk to her one-on-one, you could include that. That could be one of your added value in the VIP, that they get a one-on-one with you. Now you have to be careful, you know, Sherry, and she did send me a text, by the way. She says, I'm sorry, I'm missing you guys. She says, I am wiped out. She just came off of a 5-day challenge. And last count, oh gosh, I'm going to try to just pull this out of the air because I can't remember. I'm thinking she said she had 140 people sign up for her 5-day challenge. And so she was busy. Now she did have some help. She had someone that was helping, you know, follow the chat and get people, you know, through the waiting room into the call and make sure that everybody had their microphones on or off or whatever she wanted at the time. So she did have, you know, some support, some behind the scenes support. So it's up to you, you know, how you want to do that. I prefer smaller groups. I like a more intimate group. But if this is your freebie to get people to tap in to see what you're about, you could have 140 people. So kudos to her. And so now she has to kind of let the dust settle, let her head clear after coming off of 5 days. And now she's going to put together how she's going to follow up. So that, again, that's kind of one of the things I want to talk about is that, you know, you get your framework, you know, on what you're going to do, whether you're going to do once a week, once a month, however you're going to do that. You find the platform, you know, what you're going to use, Zoom or Hopin or conference call or whatever platform you want to use. Then how you're going to do the invitation, you know, how are you going to put together to get people to know that you're doing it? And, you know, you've got Eventbrite, you've got Meetup, you've got Facebook, you know, you've got all the social media stuff. And then, of course, as you're putting together your invite, you have to also decide what your price point is going to be, whether this is going to be your freebie or whether it's going to be, you know, your first base, second base, third base offer. And if you're going to have a VIP, what is all going to be included? And are you going to go an additional time for a VIP? You know, anybody that bought the VIP, you do a second Zoom call with them right after the first Zoom call. And again, that's been very successful. And, you know, once you get that all together, you know, then you're ready to launch. You're ready to launch this thing. But don't forget, just like where Sherry is now, don't forget at the other end, you still are not done. Now you have to follow up and test and measure how things went and what you want to do different. And oftentimes, folks that have these five-day masterminds or challenges, when the challenge is over, they think they're done. And that's just the beginning, because see, what you're trying to do in this five-day challenge is you're trying to shake out those raving fans. So now you need to go back and you need to date those raving fans that came through that challenge with you. You need to first of all, identify who those folks are and how can you nurture that relationship with them. And this is where so many people drop the ball, because they think the challenge that was done, they made a little bit of money on their VIP tickets or on the challenge price or whatever. It moved the needle for some folks. It made a difference in people's lives and they're all pleased with themselves that they did this thing. And then they wait for the next challenge. When they're sitting on a gold mine of folks that came through that first challenge and they need to go back and revisit those folks. So don't forget the follow-up and the testing and measuring on what you want to do different. All right.
So Kathy, what are some of your thoughts about the follow-up?
Well, it, again, that's up to you. You have to make it be able to work for you. It has to be something that works for you. So the first thing you have to decide is, and this is where Elise comes in. I know Elise was, she said she was going to jump off and be back shortly. She had something that came up. So I don't know if she's listening to us right now or not, but Elise talks about helping so that you have more time. So the first thing, and this is a whole different topic, Estella, but I think the first thing you have to do is you have to decide what you want your life to look like. What do you want your life to look like? Do you want to work an 8-hour day? Do you want to work a 2-hour day? Do you want to work 5 days a week? Do you want to work 3 days a week? Do you want to work 1 day a week? You have to decide what you want your life to look like. You get to show up and create your world your way. That's the whole point. So once you know what you want your life to look like, then you can start creating how you want your challenge to go, what you want your products and services to look like. And then you can decide, where am I going to plug in this follow-up? For me personally, what my life looks like, I spend a couple of hours each morning, generally speaking. Now this morning I had a dental procedure, but generally my first couple of hours of every day is just, you know, making sure that all my ducks are in a row on my desk and make sure that my rental properties are okay. I make sure my Zoom calls are lined up. I make sure all of my past videos have been uploaded, you know, into the right section. And thank you, Ruth. I double check all my links and make sure links are working and, you know, and just kind of make sure all my ducks are in a row. And that's when I'm doing my follow-up. You know, I'll send out, you know, a text message or sometimes even a physical card, a physical thank you card, an actual, you know, pen to paper and put it in the mail and mail out a thank you card. And so it's however your personality thinks, it's however you want it to work, and it's what you want your life to look like. And in a perfect world for me, I could work 2 hours a morning for 5 mornings and be done. See, that's what I want my life to look like, because my end goal is I want to travel. And so at the end of the day, I want to be able to work from anywhere in the world, as long as I have my laptop and a Wi-Fi, I want to be able to work from anywhere in the world. And so I only need a couple of hours each day. I make sure my accounting is done. I make sure, you know, my renters are happy. I make sure my contractors are all on site that are supposed to be, you know. And Elise says no more 8-hour days. I get it. And so I'm content with a 2-hour day. So everything has to go within my 2-hour day, my 2-hour work day. So I don't know if that answered your question, Estella, but you have to decide what you want your world to look like.
Okay. Yeah, I was thinking, I love what you said, 2-hour work day. Oh, I'd be happy with 4, but anyway. I was thinking about, you know, so you had this challenge. People, once you have a challenge, I guess sometimes people will want more. That's what I was thinking about. But no, I appreciate what you just said in terms of what do you want your day to look like? I'm going to post that somewhere. That's a great question. What do you want your day to look like?
Because you get to choose that, because either you steer the ship or the ship's going to go wherever it goes. And oftentimes that's what happens in our world, is I think our ships are just going wherever they're going and we're not really steering. And then we, you know, we get a little resentful because we're like, oh, this is not what I thought it was going to be. And so you get to steer that. I love Calendly when it comes time for follow-up and connecting, because I can create a calendar on Calendly of when I want to connect. And then at that point, see, anybody that says, hey, can we chat? I go, sure. You know, here's my link. And that way it's already scheduled into my workday. And then they just pick which time slot works best for them. And so I love the Calendly link for that reason. And I have that right on my website, anybody that wants to have a strategy call with me. And I went back and I changed it. And I had to fix the link because I actually changed the wording. But I changed it from just strategy call to strategy/connect call. Because some folks, they didn't want to talk to me about a strategy. They just wanted to connect with me. Maybe they wanted to pitch me their business. Maybe they just wanted to run an idea past me. They didn't really want me to strategize with them on any particular topic, but they just wanted to make a connection. So I did make it a little friendlier, I think, by calling it a strategy/connect call. And then once I changed the name of it, I then had to go back and update all of my links, because the links were named after however you name it in your Calendly. So I went back and corrected my links. So anyway, with that, even if I just run into someone that let's say they have nothing to do with my business at all, and I meet someone, you know, maybe Mark and I are just out for the weekend and we meet another couple, and the wife turns to me and says, I would just love to chat with you more. I go, well, let me send you my link, you know? And so now it doesn't look like I'm trying to sell her something. It's not like, call me for this strategy call. Cause she's like, wait a minute, I just wanted to see if you wanted to have dinner. What do you mean strategy call? And so I just, you know, send a little text message or an email that says, you know, my calendar's kind of busy and this is the easiest way, so that we're not playing phone tag. So just click through and pick a time that works for you. And so that we can connect. And I just kind of soften it up a little bit, you know, like a little, you know, just a little coffee connection or whatever, you know, have your coffee ready, you know, and it just kind of softens it up and doesn't make it sound like I'm always trying to sell or something. But once they see my connect strategy, once they see that, then they're like, now what is it that you do? And it's often a great conversation starter. And so then I can actually share, oh, I have an online academy and I teach folks, you know, how to create passive income without having to punch the time clock, making punch the time clock optional. And oftentimes folks then will say, oh, well, I need to know more. And then I can say, oh, well, go visit my website. And so it just is a great conversation starter that way. But what it does is it keeps me from having these appointments all over the map. And then for me being frustrated, like, oh, I wanted to keep Wednesdays open and now I've got it totally booked with all this stuff I have to do. And what it does is it just keeps everybody on the calendar when I already predetermined I wanted to be working. So hopefully that helps. Elise, you have your hand up.
Yes. One of the things that I definitely wanted to mention, and I feel like you always talk about this, but things can definitely change. One of the things with me has always been like, I've been in sports. I've been super like disciplined. I've been, you know, well, you got to be here at 6 a.m. And then from 6 to 8, you're doing this. And then from 6:02, you are running to the next gym because you need to be somewhere else. And I think, you know, the reason why I'm so adamant about no more 8-hour days is because I've had to shove everything that I needed to do into those 8-hour days. So I just like to encourage people that, you know, you're saying, how do you want your day to look? How do you ideally want it to look? How would, or what section of this would be okay if it wasn't exactly ideal? Just kind of having those, I can't remember, what is it called? Something plan, contingency plans for, you know, it may not look exactly like this, but you can still deal with this schedule. And I think that's where I am right now, is trying to actively find what is it that I want to do at what time of day, you know, what works best for me. So just a piece on that. Thank you.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. Ruth just posted her free relationship masterclass this Thursday for anyone that wants to see how it's done. Ruth is a master at this. She's already done her 5-day challenge, and now she's doing a free relationship masterclass, and her link is there. So please feel free to click through on that. Another thing to follow up with what Elise is saying is I also looked at my schedule. You know, I just get out a calendar, look at the calendar. And I decided, you know, I'm somewhat of an introvert, even though many folks probably don't think that about me, but I really am. I work great behind the scenes, and that's how I can run, you know, 30 properties. And everybody's like, when do you have time to do that? And I'm like, well, it's all about systems, you know, and I'm really good at putting stuff into systems behind the scenes. And I keep 30 tenants happy and keep 30 properties totally maintenanced. And so one of the things that I did when I looked at my calendar is that I wanted to take off an additional day through the week. And so I chose Wednesdays because I just looked at what I was doing already. I already had, you know, my Monday Zoom calls. I had my Friday Zoom calls. I've got a couple of Monday night freebies. I got a couple of Tuesday night freebies. And I've got, I think, one Thursday night freebie. Well, Wednesday was the day that I didn't have any commitment on a regular basis. And so I just marked off Wednesdays. And so Wednesdays is my personal private day, even without Mark, because again, it gives me time to just be by myself. I can read, I can hike, I can bike, I can sleep, I can do whatever I want. But Wednesdays is kind of my self-care day. And I just added that to my schedule just recently, because if you don't protect it, it kind of gets eaten up. You know, it gets taken whether you like it to or not. And so I just kind of put that on the calendar. Now, I'm not saying that I won't ever do something on a Wednesday. You know, if a most amazing concert in the world shows up and it's on a Wednesday night, I'll probably say, yeah, that's what I want to do. But maybe that's my self-care for that day is doing that concert. So anyway, it's not that I won't plan anything on that day, but I definitely protect that day for me. So I don't know if that helps or not. And so now I'm trying to put everything into Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. And then Saturdays and Sundays is for family and Wednesdays is for me. And I'm kind of loving that schedule right now. That seems to work really well for me. So any thoughts or comments? We're running a little bit over, but I think it's been great conversation. Yes, Ruth.
I want to say one thing back to when you said how tired Sherry was.
Uh-huh.
And that's what, actually, Wendy, those of you guys know Wendy, she told me when I was planning it with 5-day challenge, she says, the first one, don't plan anything around it because you're going to be wiped out. And as you do, then you don't have to worry about that as much. The second one will come easier. The third one, even easier. But that first one, make sure you don't have busyness around it.
Well, and I think what it is I think you're so mentally on and you're trying to make sure that you have all your T's crossed and all your I's dotted that you're overthinking a little bit on everything. And that it, that emotionally and mentally, I think, just wears you out. And then to physically be on the call that maybe you're not used to being on every single day for 5 days in a row. Because Sherry's 5-day challenge was Monday through Friday, all of the same week. And Ruth, yours was the same. Well, when I did mine once a week. So I only did it like every Tuesday for 5 weeks or every Monday for 5 weeks. I didn't do it every day in the same week. So that also makes a difference. But I agree, yes. And I knew Sherry was going to be wiped out. So I haven't bothered her all weekend. Plus it was her birthday weekend. So I haven't bothered her all weekend. And so even today, she's like, I'm wiped. So my guess is that she probably didn't do a lot with it over the weekend because she just came off of that 5 days. And she probably just kind of gelled over the weekend. And now today she's probably thinking, I need to go back and try to regroup and see, you know, who's hung in there and how I'm going to do my follow-up and what I'm going to do now with the folks that came through the whole 5-day challenge. So let there be a lesson learned here. Don't try to do two back to back. Give yourself a break in between. And I would give myself a full week in between, but because I was only doing mine once a month or once a week, I'm sorry, I was doing mine once a week, like every Tuesday, for example, I had time to kind of think about that call and what I wanted to do different and how I wanted to follow up before the whole next week came along. So I didn't have all of that at one time at the end of 5 days, like Ruth and Sherry is having.
Just a reminder too, if I remember correctly, you only did one lane at a time.
Yes. I only did one lane at a time. Yes. Yes. So when I was doing, 5 weeks, I did 5 weeks on Fit as a Fiddle. And then I would do 5 weeks on Build a Better Business. And then I would do 5 weeks on blogging. So I just did it on one lane at a time. And I had some lanes that I gave up. I had some lanes that just didn't resonate with my audience and I didn't do them again. I took them off the table. Now I hung in there and did the five because I committed to that, but it just didn't resonate like some other topics did. And so I took it off the table. And so don't be afraid to do that too, you know, which is another reason why, and I say all along, I really like the fact that you can update your own website. Because as you get more clarity, you're going to want to change some things on your website. And that way you're not at the mercy of paying someone or waiting for somebody to have time to update it for you. And that's why I like being able to update my own website. Okay, any other comments, questions, thoughts? I think this has been great. Now, don't forget, Linda is still in the middle of doing she's facilitating the mastermind, the free one, where folks can tap in. And she is getting ready to do session number 3. Is that right? Yeah. August 26th.
Yeah, I think it's session 3 and maybe chapter 6, if yes. Memory serves.
That is correct. And then she's there again, September 23rd and again, October 28th. And then I think we're going to skip. Debbie has volunteered to do the next one after that. And we're going to skip November and December because it comes right in the middle of Thanksgiving and the Christmas holiday. That Friday is right on those holiday weekends. And so I think we're going to skip November, December, and then we're going to start again in January. And it will be Debbie for January. So anyone else want to do one? What we do is it gives anyone that wants a chance to practice using the John Maxwell book, Everyone Communicates, Few Connect. And you just go through the chapters and you get to facilitate and you get to see, you can go back and listen to the replays and see how other folks have facilitated the chapters because everybody's a little different. And they're all using the same material. And we use the same book every time for that reason. So folks that are a little nervous about doing a 5-day mastermind or challenge can go and see how different facilitators facilitated the same material differently. And it's okay. And so you can put your own spin and your own twist to it. And it's just a nice practice session. So I do a little bit of insight at the beginning, again, on platforms and pricing and inviting and all of those things. And then I turn it over to whoever's facilitating for the five sessions. So that's been exciting. So we can't wait to hear Linda on her third session.
And what can you put that in the chat so that we can, you know, get to it?
Yes. As a matter of fact, if you just go to, again, I'm just going to put my website, thekathybinner.com, and then go to my calendar. Mm-hmm. Everything is there on the calendar. And go to the menu to find the calendar page, or you can scroll down the home page until you come to the calendar. I've got it embedded on the home page, but it has its own page as well. So you can find it in the menu faster. Anyway, just go to my calendar and all of that is on the calendar. And there's a link on every entry on the calendar has the link right over to you.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, Ruth.
I'm just saying goodbye.
Okay. Yep. We're getting ready to go. Any other comments?
Thank you.
Debbie, thank you so much. I hope you get things worked out there. I know it's always a hassle. I've got some joint doctor stuff going this week. So yeah, I get it. Yep. Nina, I know.
Can I just ask for prayers for tomorrow? Because I have to put my dog down tomorrow.
Oh, Debbie, I'm sorry.
Yeah. It's got to the point, and she waited until I got back home after being gone for 2 weeks, which is very nice, you know. So anyways, thank you all for a great session. I'm really glad that I was here.
Yes, thank you for being here. Linda, thank you so much, and Estella, and Elise, and Debbie, and Ruth has already jumped off, and so we will see everyone next time, so be thinking about what problems you're going to solve. See everyone later. Bye.
Bye.